From the Farm Credit Studios, this is On the Farm Radio. Rural and agricultural news coming up next.
Plant a tree for your tomorrow.
In our town, we needed to do something about the runoff that polluted our rivers and streams. One thing we did was to plant trees in our yards. You can make a difference in your town, too. For your free Conservation Trees booklet, call the Arbor Day Foundation, toll-free, 1-800-932-1433. Or write the Arbor Day Foundation, Nebraska City, Nebraska.
You're listening to On the Farm Radio with Jeff Ishii.
This weekend, we have a special feature from the Northeast Dairy Innovation Summit in Albany, New York.
I'm John Clark, traveling the countryside for FeedWorks USA. We're at the Northeast Dairy Innovation Summit in Albany, New York, and who should be here but well-known Wisconsin native Corey Geiger, who is lead economist for dairy at CoBank. Corey, great presentation this evening.
Thank you, John.
So give us a couple of pithy things to take home. You had some highlights about China and the export market and the GDP that just really resonated. I think dairy farmers would like to hear that.
Sure, certainly, John. The dairy markets right now, a little bit on the demand side, are just a little sluggish. And part of that's inflation here in the U.S. or in Southeast Asia. But China's having a different situation take place. So China is the world's largest dairy product importer. 20% of the dairy products traded around the world have been purchased by China. But while we have inflation issues in America, they have deflation. So that means something that you could buy today is worth less tomorrow. And part of that's they're having hiccups in their real estate market. They got way too much housing and commercial real estate. To put this in perspective, by 2021, the Chinese economy had grown to be 75% of the size of the U.S. That's measured by gross domestic product. But now, because of deflation, they've fallen back to 64%, the same level they were in 2017. So all these things come together, that reduces demand, and part of the demand is dairy products.
And being highly elastic, that really creates a price situation here in the U.S. for dairy products.
Yeah, it does ripple back to the United States. China has been buying a lot of their products from New Zealand. Now, New Zealand is the world's largest dairy product exporter. Now, as their sales slow down, that product is searching for a new home, which makes more intense competition between the big three exporters, which are New Zealand, the European Union, and the United States.
And like some of the other folks, you have a message for dairy farmers that's very timely.
Yes. The Farm Bill got extended, and with that extension, Dairy Margin Coverage Program, you need to re-sign up. Doesn't matter if you were in it the last 5 years or not. You have to re-sign up. You got to go to your Farm Service Agency, FSA office in your county or local region and re-sign up. And this is kind of an easy button decision because the premium you'll pay in January and February will more than cover the payments that come back for that milk in January and February. So I encourage everyone to get out there and sign up for this program. It's what the best insurance plan there really is in the world. And obviously it's capped, you know, to production, but go out and get signed up for that.
Economists love statistics, and you had a fun statistic about the state with the highest new milk. Could you share with us what that state is?
Yeah, well, we're out in the Northeast, and prior to 2023, for 8 years in a row, Texas and Wisconsin jostled back and forth for most new milk. Texas had 5 years, and Wisconsin had three, and then everything changed, and New York made the most new milk in 2023. And really, there's some exciting things going on in New York. If you know the publicly announced plant expansions taking place, there's $1.8 billion in plant activity taking place, most of that in New York. And if we have $7 billion here taking place in the U.S. as a whole, there's going to be a lot of market opportunity for new milk in New York State.
You also talked about school kids and having milk in school lunches, and that's our future. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, school milk is something we've been wrestling with as an industry for quite some time here. There's a couple layers to that. One part of it is, you know, we need to really cater to young people and their needs. And one of the things that's taking place is pulling out lactose from that milk. So there's 37 processors that have come together that represent about 90% of the school milk, and they're going to be doing that Now, any dairy farmer, passionate dairy farmer, also knows that he would prefer to have whole milk in schools. Now, that passed the House of Representatives on an easy vote, but it's the vote's not being called in the Senate. I think the best case scenario is probably sometime after the presidential election in November, it could get a vote. The other thing that's taking place, we got to do school milk a little differently. That could be dispensing machines, especially in the southeast part of the country where we're milk deficit. We're going to need to go to aseptic packaging. There's processors ramping that up. So that aseptic packaging, John, really means that we can process the milk, store it. It doesn't always have to be refrigerated. We could refrigerate it the day or two before school kids drink it and get a lot more consistent experience.
You're really bullish on dairy in general. You are a dairy guy. One thing you're really bullish on is butterfat.
Yeah, the butterfat is what a market opportunity. 92% of the milk in the U.S. is priced on multiple component pricing, and butterfat has been leading the way in 2023 as the highest component, easily going to be doing that in 2024 and very likely in 2025. So, you know, in 2010, the average butterfat test in this country was 3.69%, and now we've moved to a new record of 4.11%. That's just unbelievable growth in a short amount of time. We're changing feed rations, we're changing genetics, and we're delivering more butterfat. And the upside is so strong yet because during this time, butter imports in this country grew tenfold. So, and the other thing is most of the exports that we're exporting, we're barely exporting any butterfat. It's mostly the protein part of it. So you can invest in this area because it's real. It's got staying power.
And it's got some specialty potential as well, having a specialty butter, fair?
Yeah, so some of that butter coming into the United States is 82% butter, where our product here is 80%. And you'd think that 2% really isn't that big a difference. But when you get into pastry chefs and they're putting it on their pastries, you get a different browning color, and that is just a bit more appealing to consumers, has a different crispiness to it. And so, yeah, some of our processing plants would benefit from, and dairy farmers, retooling and meeting that market demand.
Corey Geiger, lead economist with CoBank, thank you for being with us.
It's been a pleasure, John. Thanks.
I'm John Clark, traveling the countryside for FeedWorks USA.
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Just enough time this weekend for an old, very old, Chinese proverb that said, "Do not fear going forward slowly. Fear only standing still." That's your Pearl of Wisdom. You're on the farm, and I'm Hitch.